If you will turn to Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. We'll read to verse 10. Revelation 3, 7. And to the church, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things say he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I'll drop down to verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know, the warning for those who are called Philadelphians is to remain true and faithful in preaching the gospel and upholding the truth. Verse 8 specifically mentions that it is God who opens the doors and makes the way for us to do this. You know, it's interesting to think about Paul in his journeys, in his preachings. You know, many times the Spirit of God led him in the places where he was to go. He made it clear where he wasn't supposed to go. He was very cognizant of the fact that it was God who was leading him to the places where he was to be preaching. It was God who was leading him in what he was to be preaching. And so, it is God who leads us today to open the doors for us in preaching where he wants us to preach. We do this as he allows, as he opens those doors. But there was another point here in verse 8 that really struck me. And it points out that those who have little strength. Now the word here is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And in Greek it's the Strong's 1411. And it's used 120 times in the New Testament. Now its usage is very interesting when you look at all the different meanings that it can have. Some of them include strength, power, ability, works, deeds, might. It also can refer to inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue or by nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It can mean power for performing miracles. It can mean moral power and excellence of soul. Can mean the power and the influence which belongs to riches and wealth. It can mean power and resources arising from numbers, and power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts. So I found it very interesting to read all the scriptures. Did I read all 120? No, I didn't. But I read a lot of them. But it was interesting how they could be used in different contexts. And it truly reflected to me the important power of God and how it should impact our lives. When you look at it from all the different aspects that the word was used, it really came down to the fact that we have the opportunity to draw power and strength from God. But it becomes a matter of how much we really want to. Now, the other day I was doing something. I forget what I was doing. And I was thinking, you know, I really have to pray. And then in that moment I thought, you know what, I don't have to pray. Or do I? It's my choice. I could choose if I wanted to pray in that moment. I could choose to not pray. It's a choice. We each have a choice how close we want to draw close to God. We are free to choose. And that's a scary, scary thought. You know, God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to desire His ways. He wants us to come to Him in prayer of our own free will. He doesn't want it to be a burden and a drag. Because if it's a burden and a drag, He doesn't want to hear from us. You know, the word strength here in Revelation 3:8 can seemingly talk about physical numbers based on the context. So it could mean those who don't have a lot of people in the church. It could be a small church. But it could also be used to talk about that the strength of each of us that we have physically. You know, we are flesh and blood. We are not those who have performed mightily in this world. In fact, we might have struggled very hard with things in this world. But notice that it is those that keep the word of God, those who do not deny Christ, that will be given the opportunity to be safe throughout the great tribulation. Keeping the truth in our minds is what is going to protect us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 33. Matthew 10, and beginning of verse 33. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, the warning that Christ gives here has been ever present since his time. But even more so now as we see the approach of the return of Christ coming. We each have to decide that there is nothing else in this life worthy of getting in the way of our relationship with God. Brethren, if we are reading the updates that come out that we post every week, we understand that they are filled with very grim news. And we should be far enough along in our Christianity to make sense of what is being shown. You know, the Q&As for the last 2 weeks have been talking about how we can know when Christ's return is near. And it's a grim future that we see in respect to the times that are coming. It's not a walk in the park. You know, we haven't even begun to see yet the awful things that are actually going to happen. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible, you read about the desolations that will happen, all the terrible things. And it's another to actually have to live through those times. You can think about the people who lived during World War I, World War II, people who lived through the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. You know, those people had an inkling of what the coming times are going to be like. But those people's times have come and passed. You know, one of the many scary warnings in the Bible is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Second Thessalonians 2 and beginning verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Satan's great power will be channeled through this individual. This individual will have great power to do incredible signs and wonders. You know, it's interesting to think that this person will be able to do these things and the world will be enthralled. But notice it doesn't serve the purpose of the truth. Let's read in verse 10. And all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe in the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Some will come to no longer have a love for the truth, and so they will lose the power of God to understand the difference and be swept away. But let's continue on in verse 13 to 17. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or apostle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. You know, it is God's power which accomplishes all these works through us. Our own power is nothing. Our own words and works are nothing. We only have the power, the right power, that we get from God through his ability working through us. You know, many of the 120 scriptures I mentioned earlier pointed this out in great detail. And God desires to give us his power. That's part of the reason of why he has called us. He wants us to come to have the unlimited power that he and Jesus Christ have. And as God beings, we will have the power of God. So I'd like to just quote a couple scriptures for you that show the great power that God has. Luke 24:49. Says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." The Holy Spirit here was promised, and it was given in its appointed time. And then it was up to each individual that received that power to grow in it. Acts 4 and verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or what name have you done this?" You know, the people around them realized that something was going on. The disciples could not have done what they were doing without having the power of God. And people around them realized something was different. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. We'll read to verse 21, Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Brethren, what is the exceeding greatness that God's power is working toward us? How do we answer this? Do we contemplate this far? So we're in Ephesians, turn over to chapter 3 and beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do we understand the power that flows into us from God through the use of the Holy Spirit? Do we understand how we can tap into that power? Do we understand and comprehend what we can do now, at this time, through God? And finally, if you will, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Brethren, it comes down to everyday moments. It comes down to everyday thought, every emotion. The power of God is there for our taking. But we must be willing to ask and be willing to grow in the power of God.